arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. Arise, shine, arise, shine, arise, shine. Guys, if you could move to your seats, that would be brilliant.
You guys had a good couple of days. I can't remember how many days we've been here. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. All depends on where you live. Thank you, Father. So thank you for having us. Thank you for having me again, guys. I appreciate you so much. The government and the angels are ascending and descending, surrounded by the cloud of witnesses, connected into the head, because the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of man, and he has to have an arc between heaven and earth. So sometimes things are commissioned in heaven, but they don't actually happen on earth. So the Lord looks for a person to stand in the gap to complete the ark, to give permission for it to happen because of the territory that he's given us in the spirit. And I used to wonder, like, with the cloud of witnesses and going in the courtroom, Lord, why do you need me? I'd, like, look at the people there, and I was thinking, what? Why do you need us? But that's just the wisdom of the Lord, that he's made us so valuable and so significant, and he's raising up these shining ones. I don't know what the names, what we can call it, but the shining ones, these hubs of glory, of wisdom, the wisdom of the ages. And in Enoch's time, it was a very unusual time. And there was a lot going on. And it was also like leading to the days of Noah. And no one was engaging with wisdom. So Enoch said there was a great mystery that wisdom sat amongst the angels in heaven because she couldn't find a resting place on the earth. But he also saw that a time was coming where fountains of wisdom would be upon the earth and many would come and drink of the waters and be made wise. And he saw that wisdom would fall like rain. And there would be these hubs. And he actually framed up the future because he saw the future acts of mankind and understood them fully. That's why he's quoted in Jude. The book of Enoch is quoted 100 times in the New Testament. Jesus quoted it 25 times. I mean, the Ethiopic book, the one that dates pre-Jesus, that was part of the Dead Sea Scrolls. There's 3 books. 2 of them are completely fictional. So you've got to watch. You've got to know your history. But the first one was actually, everybody used to have it in their homes. And why they stopped using it was because it so reinforced Christianity, because the Son of Man keeps being in it. So when Jesus was saying, I am the Son of Man, it was like, you guys have read the book of Enoch, I'm the Son of Man. He's in it over and over again. It says the Ancient of Days was there with the Son of Man. Yay. So it's interesting with the book of Enoch, it was then hidden, and Enoch knew that was going to happen, even wrote it in the book. It was on the ark, the book. And he actually said, the things I've written are not for this generation, but for one far in the distant future. So it went out of circulation for 2,000 years, and then some archaeologists started to find fragments of it. Then they found lots of copies of it, a Scottish guy called James Bruce, until we found many copies of it, complete copies of it now. Yay. Interesting, eh? Isn't that something? Yay. Yay. So, Father, we engage with the spirit of glory tonight. Just allow like that realm of the presence and the glory. Yay. We honor the cloud of witnesses tonight, the saints that went before us, that them not being complete apart from us, that we've got something better. That's one of the amazing things Rick Joyner talks about, is that he's in his book, The Final Quest, and all these books, the cloud of witnesses are like looking at him going like, whoa. And he's like, why are you looking at me like that? It's because they've seen what's coming. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit. I want to talk about the harvest and glory invasion and the context of where this is going with these hubs of wisdom and the outpouring of the Spirit, and there's been hints of it in history, but nothing quite like what we're coming into, nothing to the extent and degree of the power and glory that's going to be released and is beginning to be released. And there's certain some people starting to walk in this. So I just, you know, heard a story recently and about one woman who, this is a recent story, and I've actually heard her share the story on where she was in Pakistan, and she was given permission to do these meetings in the army to protect the meetings, because she'd actually prophesied over the government, and she's prophesied over 50 world leaders. And you don't hear about her because she's mostly doing stuff in the Islamic world. She's rarely actually in the Western world. But she's in her 60s, and she said she was doing these meetings on the first day. There was just women and children. They were the only ones brave enough to come. God started to heal and deliver a few of them. The next night, more came. There was more deliverance, more healings, more stuff happened. On the third day, she was ministering, and two guys burst into the room with a boy in their arms, dead. Put him on the floor in front of her and say, "The God of the Christians has got no power." And suddenly she ascended. She ascends to prophesy, and she could no longer see her. She could no longer see this boy. She could see her grandson. She couldn't see the original boy. All it was her grandson dead. So she grabbed and began to scream out to God and began to cry out to God. And she began to call on God, and she was weeping. She poured water over him. She was slapping him. She cried and cried for 2.5 hours until she breathed into his mouth, and suddenly the boy came back to life. And this thing called dominion glory came in the room. Now, dominion glory was, the power of dominion glory was so transformational that people from all around started to hear about the boy that had been raised from the dead that night, and they started to stream in. And she said, literally, the area that she's in where Christians have been killed, arms have been cut off. There was a girl there that was in a village of 10,000 people. They killed every Christian in that village, except this girl that managed to run away. They burnt them. But she was burnt, and her grandma didn't know what to do, so she'd wrapped her up and just in sheets. And when the girl, you know, skin healed, she couldn't move her arms. They were fused to her body, burnt from top to toe. She was in this meeting. God replenished and changed her whole body, and her arms came back off. She had new skin. There was kids there that had no eyes. Literally, eyes were growing out. Limbs were growing out. Every imaginable miracle. These two people and this boy have gone on to lead tens of thousands of Muslims to the Lord with power and signs. God's eyes are so on the Muslim world. I went to Yemen, and I didn't know what to expect. I knew it was a dangerous place to go. But when the plane landed, I went into visions and started to see God's heart for Islam, God's heart for the Muslims. And I was going into vision after vision, and I saw a vision of a guy in a mosque. And he was just so hungry for God, and he was so empty. And every day he would pray, but I felt the ache of his heart. And I saw how the desert fathers had been in Yemen, in Egypt, and how they'd walked the land and marked the land and shaped the land for something more. And I began to see like how God's heart was bleeding for Islam. And he said, "I'm going to go for the heart of Islam." And I was like, "What's the heart of Islam?" And I believe that's Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia. Glory invasion, that God is going to come and do something for Abraham's seeds. God is going to come and do something for the bondage that's upon Abraham's offspring. Hey. So this woman that I was just telling you about, she actually was doing some meetings. I think she was in Afghanistan. I can't remember where she was. And one of the top guys in Al-Qaeda came in with 11 guys to kill her. And they came in to the meeting, and they were just going to kill her there and then. And she said, she ascended, and she looked at the man that was about to kill her and said, "You've actually looked into Christianity because you are longing for God. But because you were abused by your father and his brother, you can't accept the father, even though everything in you longs for the father." and he collapsed onto the floor, and she for 4 hours straight preached to these people. That guy has led over 1 million Muslims to the Lord. Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee. Ha. So we went to Yemen, and we had a woman come to the house and take off a veil, which was unheard of. She shouldn't have even been in the house with us. And a friend had cursed her, and she had epileptic fits. And we prayed, and the Spirit came on her and delivered her from epileptic fits. And then we did like a house in Sana, in the capital, a healing house. And we all had to split up because so many Hindus and Muslims were coming in. I mean, this was a crazy country. When they dropped us off at the house we're staying at, we walked past a guy showing off his new machine gun thing to one of his friends. They all had swords and stuff. They were all high. Everybody got high. They chew this plant. Men do. All men buy it. They buy 2 bags of it a day. It's normal. They eat, start from 12 till 6. They all chew it, and it's an amphetamine. So we did these healing rooms, and I was sent off into one room, and there was like 12 people in hijabs, women. 11 of the 12 got healed. One of the women was poisoned and had a tongue damage. The tongue got put back to normal. Even as we left, there was people showing up at the gate as more people were finding out. We even got to go into a school, a Muslim school, and prophesy over the Muslim teachers. Because of the hunger and the longing in Islam for a father. Because it was an orphaned movement where they were exiled from Abraham. They were exiled from fatherhood. They were exiled from the father. And God is going to restore the hearts of the children to the father as we begin to father, as we begin to hold them in our hearts, as we begin to see that love overcomes evil, that we cannot overcome evil with evil. It creates more evil. It doesn't work out well for us, but we overcome evil with love. And there's a glory invasion. There's an angel called glory invasion. There's an angelic realm. It says the angels are the harvesters, and the harvest is the end of the age. This is heading to a culmination. Hey, of something glorious. Nations, wow. Thank you, Father, for your heart for the Islam. Your heart for that, those nations, for Yemen, for Saudi Arabia, for Qatar, for Kuwait, for Egypt. Hey, for Dubai, Lord, all these different places, Lord. That you're going to move in glory and power, and you're beginning, and we're at the turning of the tide. It's a turning of the tide, Lord. It's a rising and shining out. And Lord, I thank you that you've seeded the nations with Muslims so they can be transformed and bring back and reap back to the nations. That they're going to be some of the most powerful prophets and power wonder workers of our generation. That you are not discounting an entire 1 billion people group. You're not discounting those who have been in darkness will see a great light. Those who have been under the shadow of death, for them the sun will arise with healing in his wings. And the harvest of the ages and the culmination of the ages, where it says a highway of holiness will be. Do you know where Isaiah's prophecy for the highway of holiness is? It's through Iran and Iraq. If you look at the history of it, it says the highway of holiness is going to be built in Iran and Iraq. Glory invasion, glory invasion, glory invasion. Don't need no persuasion for glory invasion. Don't need no persuasion for glory invasion. I come from a nation that's been marked by glory invasion. In our, we went to like a club earlier for lunch, and they had like the names of captains and stuff. You know, I've been in the rugby clubs, and in Wales, rugby clubs are like rugby. You know, they love rugby. Crazy love for rugby. But you go into some of the valleys, you can go into the rugby clubs and see dates going back to the 1800s or whatever it is. But you look at 1904, 1905, 1906, there's no captain names. It says revival. God shut down a nation. He shut us down in 1859. In 1859, through one guy called David Morgan, wrestling an angel on the hill on the way to church, arrived with twigs in his hair, looking a right mess. He encountered an angel and became an oracle. He went from being a normal pastor on one way to a meeting. On his journey to the meeting, he was a normal pastor. One wrestle with an angel, he came, and for 10 years, an oracle spirit was on his voice that would penetrate. 110,000 people got saved in rural Wales in 1859 when the road systems were so bad you couldn't get anywhere. 110,000 people through one guy that encountered an angel on the way to church. Hey, going back another century into the 1700s, Daniel Rowlands. Daniel Rowlands had the greatest preaching anointing in Europe, according to George Whitefield and others. For 40 years, he didn't have to travel. Over 1,000 people would come for communion every Sunday. I was trying to find where did it begin in Wales? We're called the land of revivals. And I found this thing, Daniel Rowlands. It said this was the origin. So I was like, I'd been involved in this with this guy that had like Sons of Thunder. And then I met Ian, he was Sons of Thunder. So I got in the car with Stevie and I said, Stevie, do you want to go on a crazy adventure? And we're going to try and find ground zero for revival. So we drove 2 hours to this village in the middle of nowhere. Couldn't even pronounce it. I can't even remember what it's called. Tregaron or something. I can't remember what it was. We got there and we stopped a roundabout and we found a sign with the detail of Daniel Rowland's life, and they'd called him Son of Thunder. God wants to release those that thunder. And he had this church, and we went to the church, and Daniel Rowlands would have over 1,000 people breaking bread every Sunday. And his preaching carried a record and a frequency of it that would encode the people so they could quote him back. 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later, people could say exactly what he said. And the power that he carried as an oracle, they couldn't even describe it. Hey. God's going to release the new oracles. Years ago, someone that I know that isn't walking with the Lord was actually in a bad situation, far from the Lord. Very far from the Lord. I went to visit this person in their office, and this person was like, back then you could smoke in your office. They were smoking and shaking, said, I've got to tell you something. And I was like, what is it? I had this encounter with God in the night, and my body was frozen for hours. And in this, I had a dream, and I can't understand any of it. Can you explain it to me? And I was like, go ahead. He said, I had this dream that there would be people that would be in meetings. And the leaders were so humble. This person called the leaders, let's pray for the leaders. And people had to nudge them to stand up. Why were they like that? And he said, as they were holding hands, I saw these lightnings moving around them. And then I saw these people that would get up and they would talk normally. And they would be talking normally and people would all be waiting. And then suddenly a river would come out of their mouths. And everyone would be trying to capture the words. And they would finish speaking and people would try and buy them and people would try and influence them, but they couldn't be bought. They weren't in control of oracle voice. And he said, I couldn't understand any of it. It was all a mystery to him. But to me, it was like, ah, wah. So I got really hungry and I actually I found that like no one that I knew was believing, and I started crying out for God, and I just decided there's got to be more, and I couldn't handle the complacency and apathy of everyone around me, and I started having these dreams about glory invasion in 2003, and I'd have dreams about crazy dreams with people going, the glory. I had a dream that I was on the London Underground, and the glory started to fall, and everyone was going, the glory. And this blonde woman was walking past. I remember it so clearly. I touched her head. She went, bam, on the floor. And I was like, glory invasion. And I started having these dreams about God moving in ways that we've never seen before and the presence of God. So I began to press in, and my wife began to pray with me, and we'd start to pray 3 nights a week. And then I said to my boss, I want to pray on Fridays. And my boss said, that's fine. We'll pay you the same. Go for it. So that was awesome. So I would just go and pray, and I'd say, heaven come. And the first morning was at my mum's house because I didn't have anywhere else to go. And I was praying, and I didn't know how to pray. So I just kind of, you know, by lunchtime, I didn't know what to do. I went upstairs to her bedroom, where she one of her bedrooms where she had all of her books. And as I was looking at the books, the glory came in, and I passed out. I fainted clean out. I didn't tell anyone, because I didn't know that when God cuts covenant with you, sometimes he puts you in a sleep. It's in the Bible. No one had ever told me that God could put you in a sleep like that. I woke up to this crazy noise and the fear of God. I hadn't even realized that's what God did to Abraham. It says he put Abraham in his sleep and woke up with the terror of God and cut covenant. I didn't know that was happening. And I woke up to this crazy noise. I can't even describe it. I think it was the wheels of God. But it was like, it just frightened me. And I was like, why did I pass out? And the Lord said, you're going to find me. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He chose where we would live and when we would live so we would seek his face and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. So began to pursue, began to seek, began to press in, yay, and began to encounter God until God would start to come. And it all accumulated in a visitation in October 2005, where at 11:05 at night, I was talking to a friend and we'd just been praying. And I said, it's awesome what God's doing. We're getting whacked. Gold dust is appearing. We'd had light balls and stuff like that. And like God was showing up. But I said, I still haven't had my baby. There's a baby inside me. There's an Isaac. There's a laughter that hasn't come out yet. There's a longing. I've been impregnated. God's messed me up. God screwed me up. God did this to me. I've got a longing in me. It's not balanced. There's got to be a wildfire. There's got to be an untamed fire, an unhinged fire. There's got to be something beyond our control, beyond our manufacturing, beyond a ministry, beyond a man. God with us, God upon us, God with them, the power of God displayed, the wonders of God displayed. And I was saying, I was just drinking a cup of tea, and I said, I haven't had my baby. At that point, a sound came behind me. It went, and this presence built up. You could feel it and see it somehow, and it cascaded down for 2.5 hours. For the first 20 minutes, I couldn't even move because the force of it, it began to lift, and then it happened again and again and again. I went to work the next day, and I was talking to a client, and in the middle of it, my face went numb. And I went, I just turned around and walked away. I went in the stationery cupboard because it felt like the only safe place I could think of. So I went in the stationery cupboard and I rang my wife and I said, honey, I'm in the stationery cupboard. She's like, what are you doing in there? I said, God's shown up. We found him last night. I actually heard voices in the visitation in the night, and they said, angel voices. I heard thousands of children laughing in the room. And they said, they're starting to believe. And the voices said, they have no idea what's coming for them. So God began to hijack us, and then like this glory realm, being clothed in the cloud, the Lord said, I'm opening the door of supernatural glory. We'd have rain inside. I prophesied there would be like rain inside. There was rain. I prophesied there would be a puddle. We had a puddle. We had a puddle in the meeting. Wee! Whoa, crazy stuff. Yay! But it was like this hijacking of the presence of God. So I decided at this point, I'm a friend, let's give it work. Let's just go for it. Let's go big or go home. Let's go for big. So I said to my wife, can I just take 3 months off work and will you save in? And she was like, go for it, because she believes in the power of dreams. And she trusts me. She doesn't have to understand me. She trusts me. So I started to pray with my friend and crazy stuff started to happen. We'd go places and God's glory would spill off us. We started to have glory outbreaks. Glory on the plane. Glory here. And the first place that contacted us was France. We'd never gone anywhere. And we were at my friend's kid's party and we got a phone call from France saying, Charlie Robinson's cancelled. Can you guys come? Because they'd heard about us through a friend. So we literally left on a plane there and then. We left so quickly, I didn't take a coat and it was winter. We actually bought our ticket 45 minutes before takeoff. When we arrived in the meeting, someone was preaching instead of us. It was 10 o'clock at night, hundreds of people in Paris. They said, oh, they've arrived. Just come and say hello. We came from the back and walked in. When I remember clearly, when I walked in the front here, God took out the front row. They all fell on the floor. All these women were piled up. my friend went to grab the mic, and the woman that was translating started to go woo, 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 woo. And she was spinning, and it's a funny thing with the French. They dance when the presence comes on them. I've seen this so many times. It's like the indigenous anointing that God's put in French people. They do these amazing dancing. I've actually seen like 30 people do it all at the same time. And God's glory began to come. I'm not kidding you. Half the people ran to the front. Half were out of there. We were supposed to be at a pastor's lunch the next day. We got banned from the pastor's lunch. It wasn't even our fault. We spoke in one of the biggest churches in Paris that night and the next night. And I remember God's glory moved so powerfully. People were making crazy noise, having deliverance. And one woman's face shone. Woo-wee. But the pastor was offended because, again, the translator couldn't stop manifesting under the presence of God. And he was so offended at that. So it was a strange thing because I prayed for such a long time, but as the glory came, I found that it would offend. And I hadn't anticipated that. I thought it'd be really great news in Wales because we started going out on the streets. We started to see glory invasion and breakouts. We went into what's the city where Whitfield got kicked out and John Wesley? Gloucester. We went to Gloucester. In one day, we saw 40 people get saved on the streets, walking around before the meeting. And we went up to these group of goth kids, and there was this pregnant teenager, and she started heckling one of the guys that was with us. And as she started heckling us, he started praying over her, and gold nuggets appeared on her hand, gold nuggets. And she was so astonished and overwhelmed by the presence of God that her compulsion was to start praying for her friends. She formed the ministry line and began praying for her friends. And we saw 9 of them get saved in one go through a demonstration of the power of God. One of these guys went on to go into full-time ministry, as in ministry, now went to a worship school. He was a guy with a massive mohawk. We went from there to get some lunch. We walked into the pasty shop. The presence of God just hit. And it's like they were going, "Oh, I feel funny," you know. It's like, yes, the presence of Jesus. Yay. Whoa, so we started to go all over the place and see, with no meetings to do because we weren't going for church, we were going for harvest. So we just went out on the streets. We went into a marketplace with thousands of people buying and trading in vegetables. We went around the corner and I was going to share, it was my turn, and I was going to just, we had these bullhorns. I was just going to share something. I didn't know what. There was a couple of hundred people there and I thought, I don't want to preach. I want to pray. So when it was my turn, I said, I'm not going to preach. I'm going to pray like I do in my room. I went, come Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And God fell on everyone there. The whole place exploded. I mean, people were jumping up and down. People were going, fire! I mean, it turned half of them into these crazy evangelists instantly. They were running around. Yay! But the sad thing is, half of the guys on the team were offended because this one guy wanted to do a teaching on the streets. He felt God had given a teaching, and God had come and ruined the teaching opportunity because when he got up, no one was listening. Because hundreds of people were getting encountered by God. I started to run into all the shops. They lost me, the team. They were worried about where I was. I'm so on fire. I was going into shops, laying hands on the staff, the customers. And they start to get worried. So I heard the bullhorn going Justin. I came out. I was like, they said I looked like Evan Roberts. I remember it was on a balcony. I came out. I was like, they were like, your face is shining. It's like Evan Roberts. Yay. So I challenged the other half of the team. I said, the Holy Spirit's not a toy. He's not a plaything. We don't switch him on and switch him off. We're either in or out, but we don't control him. And they said, are you saying we grieved Holy Spirit? I said, too right, you grieved Holy Spirit. We went to the next location and they decided they made a mistake in shutting me down and shutting Holy Spirit down. They said, can you do what you did there again? They wanted me to cause a spontaneous outbreak on the streets. I rebuked them and I said, that's not how it works. There's got to be a company of people that don't control Holy Spirit, that start to let Holy Spirit come, the Spirit of glory. And it's going to look messy. It's going to look crazy. Because every time in history God's shown up, it's always been that way. Whoa, hey. So in Jonathan Edwards' meetings, they would be convulsing and crazy, and his wife, Sarah Edwards, was the drunkest one. They had to carry her around. It's incredible reading his journal, the state that she was in, the drunkenness that it was in. And everyone started to like saying, this is distemper. Now, distemper is an illness that dogs get where they go mad. Well, Jonathan Edwards' response to this, he said, if this is distemper, then I wish the whole world be mad. I've actually been to a church in Bristol where they started Methodism. And in this church, they used to have planks of wood, not the normal pews. It used to have a thing on where John Wesley preached. I've stood where John Wesley preached. He used to have a plaque there. They haven't got it there anymore to commemorate the night that God came with such power that every pew was smashed. Yay. Yay. So I'm hungry still. I'm not of the class of the easily satisfied. I've seen my future. Yay. But the time is coming when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge and experience of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We're in a revolution, and a revolution means a complete and forcible overthrow and replacement of established government. It means a sudden, momentous, complete change, a turning point. I always listen to my wife when she prophesies. She's never missed it. Recently, she had a dream where it was called the turning of the tides. And this is what the turning of the tides means. It means to cause a reversal in the direction of events, to cause a reversal in public opinion, to change a situation or people's opinions to the opposite of what they were before, to completely change the direction of something. Harvest glory. Harvest glory. Days of awe, days of wonder. So we began to have these breakouts after what happened to me. And the first conference we did was I was praying with my friend. We'd spend 5 hours a day praying, whacked, really whacked, in the presence of God. And a flyer floated in front of my face. And it had the name of our first conference, Closer to the Flame, papyrus font, Eye of God. It opened up and it said who was going to speak at the conference. We put this conference on, it exploded. I mean, I've got a recording from it where it's so loud, the noise, you can't even hear me talking. And I'm going, is anyone listening to me right now? And it birthed a movement and it started hitting the streets. And then we started to see more and more stuff and it gained momentum. We started to do these glory raves, glory parties where we'd have disco lights. People would be wearing like costumes. And the glory would be outbreaking. I mean, the crazy breakthroughs that people get in from love and a love revolution and trances and ecstasies until it hit national press and it hit like the media and the BBC. And I just believe it's a foretaste. Then the Lord told me to step back for a season. And that's when he started to take me with Enoch into the heavens. And that was a very painful thing. I had to fall into that. I had to let that die. But it's not died in here. I was willing to let God shipwreck it. God said it's going to crash into the rocks, but everybody will be okay. Everybody will survive, like Paul's ship. You'll swim to the shore. And I had the season where it died. We actually resigned from it. It all fell apart really quickly after we left. And for 18 months, I cried every day. And even to like 5 times a day. And I couldn't even stop myself. It was just like crying and crying. It was during the first trip where I was on my own and I'd left this movement that God actually took me on the plane to meet Enoch. And I found that heaven was becoming my greatest encourager. And then the podcast started. And the podcast started because of this wine that I drank taught me. And I would speak and I would not even know how I knew what I was saying. And the Lord said, I want you to give away what you've got. I'll teach you the power of being creative. There's a secret that if you hoard, you diminish. If you release, you increase. As you give, it's given to you. If you give away everything you've got, it'll force you to create. If people copy you, it'll force you to be something more. So we've put out 108 teachings. When I first put out the first one, I said, Lord, I'll run out of teachings within like 4 episodes. But I found that this spiral of knowledge and understanding opened up and go, wow, 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 getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Woo-wee! Oh. So there's some unfinished business. So through meeting Enoch, he appeared to me looking, not exactly like, but similar to John Paul Jackson. Now, I didn't know John Paul Jackson, but I knew stuff about John Paul Jackson through the experience. So I went to visit someone in Streams Ministries, and when I spoke to him and started talking to him, a physical wind came in the room and took him out for an hour. He had his head on the desk for an hour as a physical wind came in the room. Off the back of that, he mentioned me to John Paul. So he said, I want you to meet John Paul. And I was just following the unknown path now. Unknown path, not knowing why I'm showing up. And I was in like this big cathedral, and there's like hundreds of people, maybe 600 people. He's teaching out the front. I'm sitting at the back thinking, I'm going to meet him for lunch after this. Why me, God? But I tell you why me, because it's the same for you. He's a rewarder. He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder. He will reward you. He will reward you. He will honor you. He's the one that's promoting us. He's the one that's uplifting us. I didn't need social networking to get to John Paul Jackson. So John Paul Jackson met me for lunch, and the moment I met him, he shared this powerful story. He said years ago, he'd been taken up in the heavens by two angels, and they showed him this like rock, and an audible voice says, do you know what this is? And he said, no, Lord. And they took him down lower, and they said, do you know what this is? Wow. Whoa. Ow. And he said, no. He says, this is Wales. The revival in 1904 was cut off prematurely, but it will be finished. Evan Roberts knew that he had a mandate for the whole world. And 17 kids locked into church, they locked the door, says, we're not going until we give our hearts and yield fully to the Spirit. It was the catalyst for a whole nation being changed. Some law courts had no cases. They had the white glove, which means no one was committing a crime. One 26-year-old man, and he actually left Bible college and hijacked his Bible career to go back to his hometown, believing that a small group of youth was enough. And he was taken into the heavens and saw God, and a strange power was on him. It says a strange power. It's like he didn't have a good method. It's not methods we need. Hey. They thought he was mad before this happened. They actually sent him to a psychiatrist. They thought he had madness. I want an unbalancedness. I want a madness. I want something that's unhinged. Unhinge me, Lord. Unbalance me, Lord. Take me to the extreme, Lord. Push us even further, Lord. Push me even further. I want a life that counts. I don't want a namby-pamby, pussy-footing, lukewarm, status quo enforcing. Whoa, I want to be something more because I am something more. I want to see glory invasion. I want to see it come across the islands of the earth. I want to see it come across Wales again. I want to see it come across the UK again. I want to see London burning. London's burning. London's turning. Wildfire invasion. Glory invasion. I dare to believe for Australia's day. I dare to believe that God is not just looking for a people in these days. He's looking for nations transformed. Nations transformed for the transformation of nations. That he's always had his heart up for me, for nations. And he is going to raise up those that are crazy enough, passionate enough, wild enough to receive the call, that are hungry and longing and crazy with desire. Teresa of Avila, one of my heroes, she said there's two things, being a mystic, she said that she felt could threaten your life. One was the power of the ecstasies and raptures, that you would die from the extremity of the rapture. And the other was the hunger and longing. There's so many movements out there that are saying, oh, we can't be hungry. Let's be satisfied. But God is looking to disturb us. And that's what they used to pray, disturb us, Lord. Evan Roberts taught the young people to pray this prayer, come more powerfully to Moriah Chapel. Come more powerfully to Moriah for Jesus' sake. Come even more powerfully for Jesus' sake. And they set a nation on fire. They set a generation on fire. It went over to Azusa Street. I was just in Azusa Street. When we were there, the cloud of God, and he had this brown mantle, and he put it on me. And the moment he put it on me, I saw the superficialness, and I saw how he would put his head in the box and cry out, and how like the glory cloud was so thick sometimes, he said children would hide in the cloud. They met every day for 3 years, I think it was. I mean, like God's cloud, and it spread, and it actually started in Bonnie Bray Street with a small group of radicals. William G. Seymour was so radical that he got kicked out. The prayer meeting got kicked out with the church because they prayed for a certain amount of time and they thought, let's give up on this. So they chucked them out. They were in Bonnie Bray Street with a tiny room with a balcony with a piano. When the Spirit fell on them, this black woman sang and this other young girl got up and knew spontaneously how to play piano, and she began to play piano in Bonnie Bray Street. She went on to actually have over 10 languages given to her by impartation in that moment, which she could speak 10 human earth languages, and it became uncontainable. People would start to stand on the balcony in a house. God's looking for herbs. He's looking for a hole. He's looking for a few foolish ones. He's looking for a crazy couple of radicals that are unhinged, unbalanced, chucked out, exiled into something, pushed out into something, pushed out into a new era and reformation of humanity. Ooh-wee. I know I'm not doing like a proper preaching notes or anything. I'm just kind of sharing stories. So there's these angels that have been reserved for this generation. They've never actually been on the earth before. Paul Keith Davis had an encounter where he saw, this was just a number of years back, but he saw manhole covers. And out of these manhole covers came like the spirits of like Hitler and Stalin. Great evil was coming upon the earth. And he heard a voice say, and now the sons must respond in like fashion. And Neville Johnson had the same dream the same night as him. Isn't that amazing? And God told them that Neville Johnson had seen the same thing. So they contacted him, found he'd had exactly the same dream. And they said, now the sons must respond in like manner. And the Lord was showed Paul Keith Davis what he called messengers of his face. That there were angels that had been reserved for the coming conflict. That there's angels that are going to work with people. That the winds are coming, like Mike Bickle said, and the winds will fill the stadiums. And the winds will have incredible power. And Paul G. Davis had this encounter where he was taken into trance and he saw a Billy Graham meeting. And it was so polite and lovely. He saw people getting out of the aisles and one person saying, oh, after you. No, after you, after you. And they're all walking down the front. And then the Lord said, a voice said, not so in these days. And it changed. And it was like unbelievable. The demonic, the cripples, people coming in, and the authority and power that was on people as these spirits are rising up in the earth. God is going to respond with greater glory, greater power. And this isn't going to be like it was before. This is going to be raw power, raw manifestation of the spirit of glory and the spirit of life and the spirit of immortality. The power of the age to come, the invasion, the harvest of the ages, a manifestation like no eye has seen, like no ear has heard, has not entered into the heart of man. Whoa. Hey. Whoa. And there will be actual joy cities. It says of Philip when he went into Samaria. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord. This is the oracle spirit. With one man is enough. One man or woman and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. We're going to come back to joy city, joy invasions, the glad message. Listen, I had a face-off on the streets once with this guy. He was preaching a different gospel. He had a padlock and chains around him. And he was out in the high street in our city. And he was saying, repent, you sinners. And it was by like a place where people were eating. I stood and faced him off. I said, can I have everyone's attention right now?
And I start going, Jesus loves you. He embraces you, wants you in the cream of heaven's donut. He wants you on the water slide of his love. He wants to suck you up into the jelly of heaven. He wants to coat you with butterfly. He's not angry. He's pursuing you. He's invading you. And all these people were going, yeah, yeah. Joy invasion, glory invasion. It's the glad message of the happy God, 1 Timothy 1:11. It's sugar-coated through and through. It's the fatty, butterfat gospel, the copious joy of the Lord that he is hugging the world to himself. He's hugging Islam to himself. He's hugging Al-Qaeda, ISIS. Go and seek that which is lost. Those who are in darkness will see a great light. And there's a sound in creation that's longing for the sound in you. This woman that I told you about earlier, I'll just end with this story, I guess. She actually, I told you this already, but she was walking past a nightclub that was a coven, and there's people outside with big snakes and piercings and crazy and contact lenses, weird, really not wearing shirts, real dark and creepy. She'd just been doing a property deal, and she was well-dressed. She was off to her car, and as she got to her car, the Lord said, go back, go in there. And she's like, no, are you sure? And the Lord said, you said you'd do anything for me, whether I live or die, wild. I love the Catholics. I love the Celtic saints. Brendan has got this poem he wrote. He said, shall I put my knee prints in the sand to throw one last prayer before I throw myself to the wild waves? He got in his coracle and went round the world, pushed by the Spirit into unknown places. They changed history as we know it. They defined generations. Wild wanderers. This woman, she went to the nightclub, and she, as she walked past them, they licked her, and they touched and pinched her bum, and she walked in, and she was like, what is going on? And she came in, and there was pots of urine with crosses upside down. There was people that drank blood. There was women that were naked, painted white with strange costumes. There was just the craziest, most demonic place. People with eyes that are so demonic. And she was involved in deliverance ministry for years. And she said every devil she could think of was in that room. And the Lord said, go out the front. And there was a band playing. She stood by there and she's going, God, what do I do? The whole place went quiet. And she started to hear this sound. She started to weep. And God reminded her of this TV show she'd watched years ago where they were studying whales and they didn't know if whales could talk. And they were studying this baby whale and a mum whale. And they got separated and the baby whale was going. Oh, crying for the mother. And she heard the sound in them crying for the manifestation of us to ignite the truth of who they are. And as she began to cry, she didn't know what to do. She walked out. She felt like such a failure. And she felt like, what have I done? So she didn't even tell anyone she'd done it. 2 years later, she's in a conference and she sees a woman with an open window above her in Aladdin. So she prophesies of her. And that woman says, do you remember that nightclub? And she's like, she said, I was the leader of that place, and we were 23 covens, and when you came in, you vanished, and light appeared, and I was struck blind. When you walked in, I wanted to kill you. I wanted to drink your blood. I wanted to rip your heart out, but you vanished in that light, and I was physically struck blind, and my two friends wanted to take me to the hospital, but instead I said, just take me home, just take me home. They left me, and I shouted and told them to get out, and then I gave my heart to the Lord, and since then I've led all of those people to the Lord. All of those people have come to Jesus. Whoa. And the Lord spoke to this woman who this happened to and said, you must disappear, I must appear. The disappearance of the apostles and prophets. The disappearance of the saints. The disappearance of not I, but Christ. Christ. That's what Patrick knew when he stood and he came from Wales and he stood on the shores of Ireland and saw a nation to be taken. He said, Christ before me, Christ above me, Christ behind me, Christ all around me. And he engaged the powers and took a whole nation and changed a whole nation. And it became a hub of monasticism and mysticism. And for 400 years, transformed Europe, transformed the UK, transformed Pictland, Wales, Scotland. And there was, in Wales, there was hundreds and hundreds of mystic hubs. Every town called with Tre or Llan, which is most of them, Llanelli, Tregaron, all these places with Tre and Llan were built around houses of prayer, and communities started to come with arts and creativity and music. And they went into Pictland, which were, they were considered so barbaric that the Romans had put two walls to stop the Picts coming down across the top of the country. Suddenly the Picts were... I saw a documentary, four-part documentary by the BBC, where just a small group of, I think, 8 or 12 saints came from Ireland, and all of them transformed Pictland. Just 8 to 12 of them. And even this documentary said, we hate to admit this, but miracles. We can't deny this. Miracles. And God started uniting the tribes. So the Picts were coming down. They weren't barbarians anymore. They could read and write and do art. And then they started to mix with the Northumberland, the Angles, the Saxons, the Scottish, the Welsh, the Cymru. Whoa. Which is where I'm from, Cymru, which is our language. And the Cornish, and they unified the tribes because the manifestation of the glory, and angels would come and tell them who to put into power, and kings would come and actually kneel before them. Cuthbert would actually anoint people and Columba into their office. Angels would tell them which ones to do. They would pick up babies and be able to tell you how they would live, how they would die, how old they would be when they would die, what kind of a person they would be. They knew which dates they were going to die on. They knew when angels were coming for them to die. They worked with angels. They walked face to face. I've walked on the island of Iona where Columba used to stand face to face in angelic councils. I've actually stood where that happened. I've stood on the Isle of Lindisfarne where Cuthbert used to stay up all night in cold water praying. Whoa. But they would go into towns and villages with shining faces, transforming nations. When Columba died, a pillar of fire went up into the sky that you could see all the way across to Ireland from Scotland. That's actually how Cuthbert gave his life to becoming in ministry. He was a 16-year-old boy doing looking after the sheep, and he saw the pillar of fire as Columba died. Arise and shine. What's coming is this. It's going to be a days of awe and wonder. It's not going to be days of just saying believe by faith. There's going to be demonstrations of the kingdom and power, signs in the heaven, signs on the earth, things that no eye have seen. Glory invasion. And it's going to come to people that honor his presence, because those who honor a snowflake get a snowball. Those who get a snowball get an outpouring of an avalanche. And God is looking for those people that want to live. They're of a different spirit. It's wired in their DNA. It's written in their skulls that they were born for a reformation, for a revolution of Christianity. That nothing here is satisfying them. They can't stand it anymore. Truthfully, I can't stand it anymore. I can't stand it anymore. I don't want to be a part of it anymore. I want to see God come. I want to see the power of the age to come. I want to see the power of his presence. Okay, I'm going to end with a quote from Rick Joyner, but I think it's so awesome. It's called The In Gathering. He went into a series of visions where he was shown a panoramic vision of the future. And he wrote this. He says, the magnitude of this harvest will ultimately astonish even the most optimistic believers. Congregations of less than 100 will be adding 1,000 believers a week for periods of times. Meetings will begin spontaneously, will stir entire cities, continuing until they fill the larger stadiums night after night. Previously popular sports events will be abandoned in many regions for lack of interest. Whole towns with populations of thousands will swarm upon neighboring towns to evangelize them. The news media will be dominated by the harvest until they have fanned the flames throughout the world. News teams will follow apostles like national leaders recording great miracles, which will be shown with unabashed enthusiasm. Some of the individual broadcasts will result in more conversions than Christian networks have seen during their entire existence. Large cities will experience periods of zero crime as their populations come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and the light of the church drives darkness from entire regions. Pornography, prostitution, illegal drugs, abortion, and drunkenness will cease to exist in many areas without the passage of a single law. It's not going to be the law that's going to change, and the law never changed anyone. large factories and businesses will shut down for days at a time so their employees can attend special meetings. Whole nations will give themselves to periods of prayer and fasting. The inflow of new believers will be so great in places that relatively new believers will find themselves leading large congregations. Some churches will be dividing every few months, not because of conflicts, but because their growth is so great, must keep the size down to what is manageable, with each split resulting in the birth of new congregations. Bonfires for burning pornography, witchcraft, and astrological paraphernalia and illegal drugs. Warlocks, witches, mediums, and even mafia chieftains will be bowing the knee to Jesus and entering into salvation with great joy. Street gangs will be sending Bibles and gifts to one another. And prisons will become churches, which will give the body of Christ some of its greatest teachers. Miracles will exceed even some of the most spectacular biblical marvels. It will cause whole nations to acknowledge Jesus. Leaders of some of the most powerful communist countries will be openly confessing the Lord and exhorting the people to follow him. The visible glory of the Lord will appear over some for periods of time, and the glory will heal everyone it touches. The pillar of fire that led Israel will not even compare to the intense presence of the Lord in these days. The appearance of angels will be so common that they will cease to be related as significant events. The Lord himself will appear to councils to give them directives. This will impart a courage and peace that will astonish and gain the respect of even the most vehement opposers. Never has the Lord been as personal and intimate with his people as he will be in these days. Believers will be in awe continually, wondering each day what new things they will bring. Whoa. I chose that I would live out of that future, and I went from leading no one. I've led thousands of people to the Lord. We've gone out on the streets. We've gone into Yemen, the Middle East. I've gone into India. We've had Hindu mobs trying to shut us down. We've risked our lives in crazy places, gone behind military lines in Yemen. But I want our way nations. I want to see white nations, not white nations, but you know what I mean, that have originated from the island of Britain. There's something on Australia. There's something for Britain. That there's a cry for Britain. There's a cry for whatever colour they are. It's not about colour, but I want to see Europe's day. I want to see this Europe's day, France's day, that something's awakened, that no one can contain, no one can put back, no one can control, no one can manipulate a wildfire, an uncontrollable flame. And I'm even framing it up tonight again, saying, Lord, here am I, God. And I'm crying out again, I want my Isaac. I want to see what John Paul prophesied. Whoa. Whoa, whoa. So I thank you for Evan Roberts, Lord. I keep seeing Evan Roberts this week. I haven't seen him for a number of years. He keeps just appearing in the spirit. Thank you for Evan Roberts. Thank you that it's not finished. It is not finished. It is not finished. I will not let my past determine my future. My past is irrelevant. Lord, I thank you for David Morgan, who wrestled on the mountains on the way to church. I'd like to show up in church with twigs in my hair as an oracle. Just imagine, it could be any one of us are going to get hijacked by these angels that are coming out of heaven to birth a new era, to birth a new dawn. I don't fully understand, but here I am. So I thank you, Father, for the glory that we're going to be clothed in the clouds and there's going to be a new normal. I've had that glory presence coming. I remember I was in Starbucks. I was at the till, normal, talking to the woman, and it went, and I was like, oh. Whoa, 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 whoa. Mariah Wood of Theta would do meetings, and sometimes it would hit a radius of like 17 miles, 50 miles. I've got accounts of where teenagers were mocking her 17 miles away, and they all fell into ecstasies and trances. Whoa, that's power evangelism. In 1859 in Wales, in an open mine where hundreds of people were working, three men kept weeping as they were chinking away. And they said, brothers, I can't take this anymore. We must give our lives to the Lord. They began to walk up the hill, and 300 people walked up the hill with them and all gave their hearts to the Lord. Not a single evangelist, not a single person there. In 1859, because one guy had had an encounter with an angel, had unlocked a nation. Evan Roberts, one guy, unlocking a nation. Thank you, Father. Yes, stand, sir, stand. Thank you, Jesus. I dream of a nation burning. I dream of a nation turning. Dream of a nation burning. I've got a dream in my heart. I believe you have too. Father, 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 help us. God, help us. Make me hungry. I used to pray this. I used to say, make me hungry, God. Make me hungry, God. Make me hungry, God. Make me hungry, God. Lord, I want it, God. I want it no matter how many disappointments have happened, Lord. I am longing for a manifestation. I'm longing that we would move into something. The story has to have an event. Lord, and I have believed you for these last 10 years, Lord. And I pursued you for these last 10 years. And I have sown my life and our wealth, Lord. This was the first year where Rachel and I even earned enough money to replace carpets in our house. I've been in ministry for 10 years. We actually used our own wealth from our home to fund being in ministry because I was passionate about seeing a nation. I didn't want like my success, my ministry success. I wasn't interested in company burning hearts. I couldn't care less. I want a nation. I've always wanted a day where it is so going that no one even wants to see our podcast. They're irrelevant. That God's so moving in power and glory. That he's having the harvest. That he's having the reward of what he suffered. He's having the reward of the desire of his heart. That for the oppressed, for those who've never known, for the prostitutes, for the broken, for the sex traffickers, for those who have been trafficked, there's got to be a generation that disconnects from religion. There's got to be a generation that wakes up and realizes there is a cause. There is a cause. Whoa. I dream of a nation burning. I dream of a nation turning. Wild islands, Europe's day, burning flame, wildfire nation, wildfire invasion, glory invasion. Need no persuasion for glory invasion. I pray that the same madness that came upon Jonathan Edwards would be upon me. I pray, Lord, if this be distemper, I wish all of Australia be mad. That we'd be in ecstasies, that we'd be thrown out of our minds, that God would hijack us, hijack the workplace, hijack our homes. Lord, cancel the meetings, begin what you're doing, release what you're doing. Glory invasion, glory invasion, glory invasion. Visible signs, invasion in the parliament when they're in the middle of session, invasion in the schools amongst the children, invasions in my house, glory in the bedroom, glory, whoa, glory at the dentist checking out your teeth. You guys might know that song. That song was written out of our meetings because Godfrey Biddle was one of the people I saw on the flyer. We invited Godfrey Biddle to Wales, and at the time he was singing a song saying, God, we prayed for you, but you've not come. Godfrey said to me, Justin, do you mind if I sing this song? It's God, we prayed for you, but you've not come. I laughed. I said, Godfrey, you can do what you want, but he has come. He was in my room last night. And they encounter God so much that he captured the sound. He wrote this song, Glory Invasion. And he wrote, are you ready, ready, ready? Ring-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding. Are you ready, ready, ready? Ring-a-ding-a-ding-ding. Glory in the kitchen. Glory in the home. Glory in the dining room. Glory at the dentist checking out your teeth. The glory of the Lord is moving in the streets. Glory, glory carriers, glory, glory carriers, glory, glory carriers, glory, glory carriers, glory, glory carriers. A ring a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding. Fire, fire carriers, fire, fire carriers, fire, fire carriers. Fire, fire carriers, fire, Fire carriers, a ring a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding. Glory in the kitchen, glory in the home, glory in the living room, the dining room, the hall, glory in the dentist, checking out your teeth. The glory of the Lord is moving in the streets, glory in the house, glory when I'm out. The glory of the Lord is over this town, glory. Glory carriers, glory, glory carriers, glory. Release the new sound, Father, the sound of the future. The wilderness era has to end, the song has to change. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sounds. Oh, fire, fire carriers, fire. Fire carriers, fire, fire carriers, fire, fire carriers, fire, fire a ring a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding a ding, fire. Woo. Yes, Lord, I'm hungry for you tonight, God. Whoa, hey, whoa, 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 glory, hey, hey, whoa. Are you ready, ready, ready? Whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Woo. Thank you, Father. Infect us tonight, Father. Infect us. Just let's engage just for a minute before we end. Infect us tonight, Father. Haunt us. Wake us. Awaken. Wakey, wakey, angels come. Wakey, 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 angels. Wakey, angels. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up.